You're listening to episode 17 of the Mike James Content Experience Podcast. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you've had a wonderful time. Today's guest is going to be fantastic. She works for an established YouTube channel, one of those channels that uploads gaming content, news content, and I'm not going to share the name of it just yet, but she works for a YouTube channel. She also streams on Twitch. She isn't partnered yet, but she does have a very established community, and she does do some absolutely crazy things on stream. I think you're really going to love today's podcast, guys, and I really think you're going to love all the information that she has to give and the journey she's got to share. But that aside, guys, just quickly wanted to explain about why there hasn't been any podcast episodes for a short while. It's basically down to me taking a personal hiatus. I hope you don't hate me for it, guys. I hope you can look past my unjust performance and ability to bring you podcasts, but they are continuing. We aren't stopping them. So without further ado, guys, today's episode coming right up with a fantastic streamer that's going to give you her entire journey, nothing held back. All that and more, guys, coming right up.
You are listening to the Content Experience Podcast, the podcast for those wanting to learn more about all aspects of content creation and streaming. Each week we sit down with some of your favourite streamers to get to know the story behind the stream and what advice they would give to help build your dream career in content creation. All this with your host, taco lover, sci-fi geek and award-winning tap dancer, the Mike James.
Recording button right there, and then I'm gonna say, welcome, mysterious guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, good evening, thank you for having me. My name is Rach. My channel name's on just about everything is Don't Rach Quit. I try not to. I am a content creator by trade, also by hobby. I work for a semi-large, 1.2 million, no big deal, subscriber YouTube channel called What Culture Gaming, where I do everything. I write, I present, I record, I edit, I make people tea. Just kidding, I totally don't. They can make their own. So I do that during the day, and then I come home and I'm just obsessed. So I then, you know, do my own content creation on Twitch and YouTube and Twitter and all that sort of stuff at home. So yes, hello, I'm the busiest person in the world ever.
you've mentioned it previously, and you know, all the things with like the wedding and stuff. Yeah, I literally do not know how you do it, by the way. Like,
I don't know either.
I don't know either. She says rocking backwards and forwards.
obviously the Hulk, the angriest Avenger, his secret is that he's always angry. My secret is that I'm just always stressed. Can't get stressed if you're always stressed.
I mean, but yeah, obviously we kickstarting this off, obviously we normally discuss, oh, so what did you do before content creation? But I think we will come to that question. But first I want to discuss your work. Now, obviously there's only so much that we can talk about, but like, what is your role outside of making the tea and the coffee? What is your role in your job? Because that's a pretty insane job. I mean, even if you forget Twitch and forget, you know, streaming as a career, that in itself, the role, I mean, I'm going to let you explain the role, but that in itself to me is like, what? You got like the dreamest of jobs right there.
Yeah, I realize how it sounds. It's bizarre, I know. I sort of touched upon it, but basically I work for this channel. It's a quite a big team, bigger than you'd maybe expect, because What Culture itself, we have like four channels. We've got the main channel, which specializes in film and TV. We have the gaming channel, which is where I work. We have the wrestling channel, which is the biggest one. Oh, Mike, you got a sub.
No, I was just sort of, I was going to let you finish and then I was going
to... No, go for it.
But yeah, anyway, Fried Pizza Bites, thank you for that one tier one sub for 6 months in a row. I would dance, but unfortunately we broke my dance scene, so I think you're going to have to just deal with that one.
Sorry, pizza.
I'll give you a dance at the end, dude, don't worry. So, sorry, you were saying...
No, that's okay, yeah. So we have all these channels and all these, obviously, these different staff members. There are people who write. there are people who then present, and there are people who edit. Now, the same people don't always do all three of those. I am one of the few that does all three. Most people will be like, oh, you're just an editor, or you're just a writer and a presenter. For example, we mainly make list videos. So like 10 games that made you poop your pants while you were playing them, for example, is totally not one of our lists, but some kind of like that. We also do editorials, we do reviews. You got another sub, Mike!
I think it's going to be a crazy night.
I'm just getting like secondhand sub hype. Heck yes.
Thank you, Marina, for gifting that sub to Pika Punch.
I have completely forgotten what I was saying. I got too excited.
I do think, though, it's worth mentioning just whilst we're recording this podcast. And I know that it gets much hotter elsewhere in the world, but right now, for people in the UK, it's above 10 degrees, which means that we are practically sweltering and melting to death. So we are both sat here right now, probably, you know, melting and sweating like you'd never believe. But anyway, we'll save that detail for a different type of stream. So you pretty much work at a channel that does like gaming content on YouTube.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Oh, that was it. Yeah. So we mainly make lists. Lists are what that gets people clicking. That gets people watching right the way through. That makes us ad revenue. Lists make us money, essentially. But we do get to do more fun stuff. We have we're almost a year through our biggest and most successful series now, which we have called Chatty Faces, which is kind of like a talk show like this, but there's like skits and stuff. It's all like completely natural. It's not scripted. So that's another thing we do. We do reviews. We do sometimes we get to go on trips and do like special things from that. Like, but it's mainly list videos. The thing is with working in content creation, and I'm sure we'll get into this, is sometimes you have to do what makes money, not what you want to do. And that is the difference between what I do during the day and what I do at night. None of these jokes now before, because I see your brain making jokes about what I do at night.
I wasn't going to say nothing, I promise. But yeah, I mean, that's why I wanted to, you know, kickstart the whole chat with that, because that in itself, I mean, I could end the podcast right there and probably just name it like the best job in the world or something. Because, look, I'm sure it's like every other sort of 9-to-5 type job. I'm pretty sure that is going to have, you know, it's similar stresses, if you like, as a normal job. I'm sure it's not always sunshine and rainbows, even though, you know, I'm sure we would all love a job that's sunshine and rainbows. But let's step away from the job a second and step away from Twitch for a second.
Where are we going?
Well, that's what you're going to have to wait and find out, aren't you? Right after this break. We're off to see a wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Brad Peter, thank you for the 500 bitties. I appreciate that. So we are going to go down the road of asking you about your journey before you were a streamer, like finding out, obviously, because somebody doesn't just find like a YouTube job going on the internet and being like, that sounds like a dream job, without knowing that it's going to be a dream job. So were you interested in YouTube beforehand? Were you making any sort of YouTube content before you got into streaming and got into that job?
No. I got extremely lucky. So my journey was quite an unconventional one. I moved down here to Newcastle and kind of had to, I did a little bit of freelance work, but it was drying up. I wasn't able to go into the office. My relationships with the people I was doing freelance work with kind of suffered. I got a little bit depressed, and I decided that I wanted to get a job where I was speaking to people face to face again. So I got a job at Game, which was really good for like a retail minimum wage job. Game was perfect for me, and I worked there for 3 years and I loved it. I was there working in the have you been to the one in the Metro Center?
No, funny enough, for somebody that lives only about, what, 40, 50 minutes away from the Metro Center, I've never, ever been to the Metro Center. It's like every Christmas, for those that don't know, Rach and I live very, very, well, not very close, but we live close to each other. We are about an hour away from one another. And we have this very, very popular shopping center, which every Christmas, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to go to the Metro Center and do me Christmas shopping. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll go to Argos and I'll get everything in Argos.
Grand Metro.
But yeah, you had a job in the game in Metro Center. I was just going to say, I assume that was a good job because you said it was a good job. So
yeah, I mean, as far as minimum wage jobs go, it was really good. Unfortunately, like, I am an ambitious person and I was never going to stay there for long. But as far as a stopgap goes, it was really good. I met a lot of really, really great people working at that job, some of which are still my best friends today. Shout out to Nikki. But what I also got out of working there was that Microsoft, as in the Microsoft based down in Reading, they approached us because we were the biggest game in the country and said, what do you think about getting involved in a streaming program? And streaming is something I tried maybe like once ever, had zero viewers, everything broke and just never like touched it again. I think I tried to stream Amnesia when I was about 19 years old and it just didn't work. On Justin TV as well. So Microsoft were like, do you want to do this? And I was like, heck yes. So I made an application for that and passed it with the flying colors. Me and a couple of my friends were the stream team at game. As bizarre as it sounds, we had a studio, which was a little glass box, in game Metro Center that we set up. We would go in, pull the blinds down if it was an 18 rated game. We'd have them up if it was universally, you know, no tits or arse or swearing or that, you know. We'd have the blinds up. People could see in and see us streaming this game. It was the most bizarre idea, right? But Microsoft were so into it. They put so much money into this and they bought us loads of games to play. And I loved it. So I did that for a year. And was that about a year? Year and a half. And we went through, like, the team members all left and we got new team members and like to replace them. So I ended up by the end of it being somewhat of the manager, kind of, where I was organizing, you know, what day we're streaming, what, who is doing it, making sure everyone was, you know, selling games essentially, because that's what we were doing. We were saying, right, hi guys, today I'm playing, I don't know, FIFA. Make sure you get your FIFA points from game. Make sure you use your reward card, things like that. And it kind of just went from there. So that's how I fell in love with streaming. And I was looking, obviously, to leave game because I was just getting a bit too ambitious and game was just annoying me because they just didn't want to. Microsoft was totally up for investing, but game was not. They did not really realize the potential and it just frustrated me. And I was like, right, I need to leave. So I was always interested in doing video editing. Sorry, I realize I'm talking loads here.
No, do you know what? I usually as a very nice horse, usually you try and not necessarily cut people off, but interject to try and direct the conversation. But quite honestly, I'm loving just learning everything about you right now, because this is just fascinating to me, because this was like the sort of thing that if I had known about this when I was in college, my life probably would have turned out a lot differently. So as you're talking, I'm just kind of picturing how differently and how good my life would have been if I had known about this like a few years prior. So carry on.
It's the weirdest story. Like, honestly, I can't believe I am where I am now. So I just was like, obviously doing these streams for game, really trying to make them successful. I was doing highlight reels and montages, some of which Microsoft contacted me personally to say that they really enjoyed. There was one, the first one I ever made, which was of me, oh my goodness, I could dig it out for you. It was me, a highlight of me playing Resident Evil 7 for the first time, screaming. They played it at one of their conferences to update their American like bosses on how the stream booth was going. They played this little highlight reel that I'd made. Oh, that was so cool. So I dabbled. I'd sort of been self-taught on Premiere and stuff because I had access to the software, which was very good. And I thought, I'm going to try and get a job in video editing. Again, got very, very lucky, found a local video editing company called, they were called Your Film at the time, but now they're called Get Film, and worked as like freelance for them, making corporate videos, that kind of stuff, like adverts for people essentially. and then specialized into doing wedding video editing. I don't know how it happened, but I just really loved doing it, and really loved making just loved making people's wedding videos and hearing how much they liked them. And that was really, really cool. So I did that on and off. Sorry. So
I just want to interject, because obviously wedding videos, it's kind of it's kind of mad tough. I mean, I don't do wedding videos. I've done wedding photographs, though, previously. Mm. Did you ever have any, what we like to call bridezillas in the industry? Did you have any brides that were just, oh, you were, you have not lived. You have not lived, honestly. Honestly, like it's a bit more difficult when you're, you know, when you're a one-man band, essentially, but you have things that you get called bridezillas. Now, I really don't know if I should be telling you this, considering you're probably going to be in a similar position when you get married, but
I'm
sometimes
not a
bridezilla. Sometimes you get brides where they pick apart everything about a picture or a video to a point of where they're like, oh, why, like, I don't even know, you've got some brides that are like, you know, why does my skin look that color, like, and then you sat there and you're like what, you've got makeup on, your skin's slightly orange because of your fake tan that you put on, and like, oh well, I don't like it. What? Yes, anyway, carrying on, because we're not doing a photography podcast. That's a different stream.
Oh, my goodness. Wedding photographers, though. It really, I saw, oh, my God, I really appreciate all the work that must go into it. Like, because as an editor, you're only as good as your cameraman. There would be some shoots that would come back and there would just be nothing to work with. The ones that came back with tons of what you call in-betweens, they were the best edits. So I did that for a while and I really, really enjoyed that. Yeah, totally. But again, though, it was freelance and I was still working at Game at the time, but not enough with this editing job to leave Game. So it was a bit frustrating. It was a bit stressful. And I remember one day going to my fiance, who is another Mike. All the best people are Mikes. What can I say? I remember saying to him, Mike, I'm really unhappy. I really just want to leave Game. I don't have enough at Get Film to keep me sustained. But will you support me if I go out on my own? And he said yes. And it was like, I think I cried. I just didn't expect him to say yes and just support me with so little income. So I left Game and right before Christmas, because I hadn't had a Christmas at home in like 3 years. I'd been at home, but then I'd have to come back like after a day and I hated it. So I got to go home for Christmas, which was nice. And I was saying to my family, I have no job. I am unemployed, but it felt good. So I had no job for 2 months. And then my friend Tony says, because he watched obviously the wrestling channel, he says, have you heard of What Culture? And I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard of What Culture. And he's like, yeah, well, a bunch of them have just left and they are recruiting. So I sent off an application expecting nothing. Again, got really lucky. They liked my work. I told them I'd done a bit of streaming so I'd be able to get into presenting one day. And got hired. And here I am a year and a half later. After doing that for so long. So yeah, it's the weirdest story, but it's like every single bit made me who I am. And I love it. I wanted to do 3D animation when I left uni. That didn't go well.
So let me just try and picture this. Let me try and get this right. So you left uni wanting to do 3D animation. So we're at point A. Then you ended up working at Game doing, well, you know, doing the store and then going into streaming. Then you ended up at What Culture, which was then you ended up doing wedding videos as well as, you know, working at Game, and then you ended up at What Culture. What?
Technically, after university, I was working for DC Thompson. They make the Dandy and the Beano up in Dundee. And I was doing some freelancing for them. I worked a lot on the digital Dandy application. So that's what I was doing when my Mike got offered this job down in Newcastle. And me, obviously being freelance, was like, heck yeah, let's move to Newcastle, practically Scotland. So yeah, I've been all over and I finally feel with obviously getting hugely into Twitch, because when I left game, that was my like, I was like, I am going for my solo Twitch stuff now. Like, I just went for it. Honestly, ever since, like, I feel like I've finally found what I'm meant to do, and that is to make people smile and make them feel loved and special and sit and chat by myself in a room for hours on end.
It's funny. I'm laughing because when you say, like, you know, sitting in a room talking to yourself for hours on end, it's funny because when I first got into streaming, I remember telling like, obviously my mum and dad got dribbled like bits and pieces of what streaming was over the course of a couple of months. But when I sort of said that, you know, I'm kind of taking streaming on alongside obviously my photography and everything else, they were like, my dad was like, oh yeah, great, because my dad watches YouTube. He watches most of my streams, and he's a big supporter of mine. But my mum's like quite old-fashioned thing, and you know, she's like, oh, well, you need to get a job sort of person. I'm sure you know the type. Anyway, so
realistic.
Being realistic, basically. And then my mum was the sort of person that turned around and she was like, yeah, but Mike, I'm worried about you sitting in a room all on your own for that length of time. Like, it can't be good for you. And I was like, well, no, it's not, but it's fun.
You're not alone though. You're not. You have so many people. If you imagine a Twitch chat room, like a room full of people, like you have so many people with you in that room. I think it's harder for people to understand because it is obviously that risk. She just doesn't want you to lose your house and your clothes and be eating 9p noodles, and because she cares about you.
I mean, we eat 9p noodles anyway, but that's just choice.
Do they not taste like paper?
A little bit. It's just because every time we go into Morrison's or whatever, Ashley always just grabs like a big box full to take to work. Because she works, obviously, she just works a 9-to-5 full-time job. So she's just like, right, I'll take an entire crate of cheese and tomato pasta, you know, those like white packeted ones that you mix with milk and butter in a saucepan.
Those are good. Those are slightly upper class 9p noodles. Those are 50p pastas. Those are 50p right, pastas. Okay. They're better.
So yeah, we just get like a big crate of them. Anyway, so obviously, you know, being a streamer and having a job at What Culture is like, I mean, that must be anybody's dream come true right there. So I mean, what's your position on Twitch at the moment in terms of like, because obviously you're not doing Twitch full time, and we're going to talk about the future of your Twitch channel a little bit later on, but obviously, like, what does your schedule sort of look like, you know, around the, because I assume the What Culture job is like a full 9-to-5 Monday to Friday type job. So how do you manage your schedule around that job?
It's tough. Yeah, I do work Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. hopefully, if I can get it in for 9, until 5:30 every day with a half an hour break in the middle. It's tough. And then I get home and I have to like do some Streamlabs maintenance and all my alerts are breaking. And then I do a 3-hour stream from 8 p.m. until 11 p.m. And then I go straight to bed afterwards. Now, if I've had a really good stream or a really bad stream, mostly good ones, I'll go up to bed and I'll just be like, unable to sleep. I used to stream 3 nights a week because that was like perfect. It was like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I was checking in every other day, sometimes even doing a weekend stream. And it was great. But then wedding planning came along and YouTube came along. I started to get really interested in building up a base on YouTube in case I ever did go full time one day. I wanted to be at a stage where I could monetize that content. And it just all became a little bit much. And I'm just stressed all the time. So now I only do Mondays and Wednesdays, and it sucks. It sucks so much because I miss everyone so much. And it is quite frustrating because obviously I want my channel to grow as best as it can. We're getting some pretty amazing numbers of people who want to come and spend time with me. And it's really hard for me to go on a Wednesday. Now, I know you're all having a nice time, but I'll see you on Monday. But unfortunately, mental health for me is not in the best place at the minute. So I had to drop Fridays, and it broke my heart telling everyone that I was dropping Fridays. I feel like I was killing a friend, killing the Fridays. But sometimes you have to do what is best for you. It might upset you. It might upset others, but you have to take care of yourself. So I made that decision, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, sad. I used to stream 6 nights a week from 9 p.m. right up until about 1 a.m. every single night. Now, that was back in the Fortnite days. Now, you can imagine they were some ye olde days. But yeah, I definitely know how you feel, especially, you know, doing that for 5 months and then finally realizing that you need to drop your schedule down to less days is kind of like, yeah, but I'm so used to doing it. But then it's like, yeah, but I'm also suffering mentally.
It's mostly just the wedding planning. So my wedding is in October. So once that's all, I mean, mostly it's all sorted. But once that's all done, then I think I'll be able to go back to 3 days, hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully you will. Are you looking forward to the wedding? I would say everything's sorted, but I imagine as per weddings, nothing's really working out quite the way it should be. Are you one of the lucky ones where it's actually panning out?
It is really getting there. It is really getting there. All the big things are done. I'm having some help from my mum and my two sisters, my two bridesmaids. Mike is he's really into it. He's motivating me. I mentioned earlier, but I'm a really lazy person. Like I'm also forgetful, and I'm just lazy. So he's really good. He's really supportive, and he's doing maybe even more work than me. So yeah, everyone's helping me. It's going really well. Even just down to my sister texted me the other day saying she's buying me some wooden nameplates for the tables, and she was asking me what font I wanted, and I'm just like, oh.
Comic Sans.
No. God.
What's wrong with Comic Sans?
Not on my wedding. Maybe yours.
Not on my watch. Are you doing like a themed wedding at all?
Not so much themed, but our tables and our cake are Lord of the Rings inspired. Also one of the songs, I'm not saying which one. Yeah, please, Lord of the Rings.
Please don't, because ours is already Lord of the Rings themed, so I don't really want to copy.
Oh, no way! Oh man, Mike and I sort of like got to know each other over Lord of the Rings, that and metal music, and it was between Lord of the Rings music and metal music, so we went with Lord of the Rings for the wedding. Oh no, that's awesome! Hey, great minds think alike.
I love the fact that you met on Lord of the Rings. Like, that is brilliant. I mean, I too. In fact, I have a Peter Jackson autobiography. It's, hold on, it's that one right there above the finger.
Heck yes.
Because Peter Jackson is one of the people that inspired me to go to uni and do TV and film production.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so I actually really, really love Lord of the Rings, as one would imagine. So, yeah, when me and you finally meet up for a burrito bar
yes
excursion, I'm sure that we will non-stop talk about Lord of the Rings.
We're gonna go for tacos, soft tacos.
It's always a big one when you mention tacos with people, and they're like, yeah, but soft shells or hard shells? And the moment that you say hard shell, just everybody just leave that guy alone.
It's because when gentlemen have gentlemen's beards, then hard shell tacos become a bit disastrous, I imagine. I wouldn't know.
Oh yeah, I did forget about that as well. Daddy T does point something out in the chat right now. I do have a Helm's Deep model right above my head. I did forget about that.
I have Middle
that.
Earth behind mine.
Dude. See, this is why Rich and I are on the AmFam team, because we like Lord of the Rings.
Also, I've got Sekiro and Avengers back there, but okay. I normally have a green screen. I'm not used to people seeing my background.
Honestly, I think the background's cool. I mean, it's,
thanks.
I made a video on this. I think you watched it actually, because you were like one of the people where I went to you and I was like, give me advice, because obviously you do it as a job. So I was like, I don't want to take your job into your personal life, but could you watch this and give me some critique? Anyway, yeah, so this is supposed to be about you, not about me, so
No, I mean, it's your show. I'm happy.
Yeah, but the podcast is all about you, so we're at an impasse here, so...
What happens when an unstoppable mic meets an immovable Rach?
This happens. So obviously your Twitch is, you know, slow, like, you know, I say slowly, it's building up. How long have you been an affiliate now on Twitch?
I was the second ever wave of affiliates, and that was April the 22nd, 2017. I think that was the affiliate first started. Yeah, because it's been 2 years. Yeah. Yeah.
that realization, like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a sub button for 2 years, man. So cool. Of course, because I've had the first few of my subscribers come through with their 20 heckin' 4 month subs recently, haven't I? Shout out to GRH in the chat. I'm sure you were 24 the other day. My memory is terrible. I could be wrong.
Oh, and we both have terrible memory. Wow, the comparisons just keep piling up.
Terrible.
Actually, I'm more just with names. I'll meet somebody like, and it's the worst part is when it comes to Twitch chat, because somebody will come in and they'll say hi and then they'll go away and then they'll come back about a month later and I'll read the name and I'll say, oh, welcome back to the stream. And then I have to click on the name where it says been following since like March 2014. And I'm like, ugh. And then I'm like, welcome back to the stream.
Hey, it's good that you have those tools though to do that. Like if you're sharp enough and you think, right, I know I am terrible at this. So you can always like get in the habit of clicking everyone. You could even put like a delay on chat so that you see chat before chat sees chat, and then you can quickly like click everyone that you don't recognize and no one will know that you're just clicking them.
I don't think anybody notices anyway. I do it quite discreetly, I think. At least nobody's brought it up before, so hey. So moving on to, obviously, because your next goal and... Yes, now they know. Now they're gonna give me grief for it. But obviously, the biggest goal for you next, and I know, you know, not a lot of people. Some people I talk about, some people don't.
Hit me.
Is no, I don't want to. That wouldn't be very nice. is that dreaded word partnership?
Dreaded. I want to lick that word. Tell you what, partnership, right? People, I don't know if people are just scared to talk about it. For a while, I was scared to talk about it, but no, I'm happy talking about it. Heck yes, we are going for partnership, me and probably about 100,000 other affiliates, but yeah, boss, yeah.
But I mean, that's obviously our next biggest goal. And we don't want to. And I'll be open about this. I did ask you sort of off stream about your partnership, and obviously you said that you weren't necessarily doing like a partner push. You sort of said
We've still got some ways to go yet. I'm taking it easy. My sort of mentality is I want to take the time to get to know every single person. So I'm not really interested in artificially inflating my numbers. I am just happy, like I say, just taking it as it comes, and one day we will get there and it'll be really exciting, but I want that to be authentic, and I want every single one of those people who helped me get there to feel like, you know, to feel the weight of how much I will be appreciating them when that time comes. I mean, obviously I appreciate them already. Obviously.
Yeah, I'm 100% behind you on that. Like, I've spoken about it literally with every guest that we've ever had on this podcast, and just, you know, I will interrupt that broadcast just to say, Mike Frost, thank you for gifting that tier one sub to B Country. But every single person that we've had on this podcast, I've asked them the question about partner pushing and what they think of it, and literally, I haven't met a partner that agrees with it yet, in terms of, you know, not just like the wording of it or the stigma of it, but just casters in general you know, just completely going out there to basically use people to just sort of, you know, obtain partnership, you know, instead of doing what you're doing, which is, you know, taking the time to get to know every single individual, which, you know, is kind of what I did once I stepped away from like marbles and all that, and I kind of dropped down again, back into just playing the games that I wanted to play. I'm at that point now where I'm just focusing on meeting people and getting to know them as humans rather than getting to know them as numbers, it sounds like what you're doing, and that sounds like, you know, well, from everybody else that we spoke to, it sounds like the best way to approach it anyway. We always say, you know, there's no right or wrong way on Twitch, but, you know, there is better ways. True. If you like. But I mean, tell us a little bit about your journey. I know you're not at partnership just yet, but obviously you've got that audience where I'm pretty sure those 100,000 affiliates that you were talking about, pretty sure 99,000 of them would look at your channel and be like, I want it. I want the precious.
Mate, that took me by surprise because your camera kind of like lagged a little, so I still saw you looking at me normally, and suddenly you were like right there.
But no, I mean, tell us a little bit about your journey. Like, has it been easy? Has it been lengthy? Has it been fantasmico?
Oh boy, has it been. It's been about average, I would say, because it has been 2 years, and I have been obviously, like, that's not full time. That's only ever doing like 3 streams a week for 3 hours at a time kind of thing. Like, obviously it varies, but so it has been 2 years for me to get to, I think I'm on about 60 average at the minute, and still a ways to go. My goal was to hit partnership by the end of the year. I think I'm going to stretch that goal to hit partnership by the next TwitchCon. Because I just don't need extra stress. My wedding's in October, like I mentioned. So I'm just kind of like, right, it's going to happen, but I don't want it to get to a stage where I'm upset that it isn't happening. For me, streaming is something I do for fun, so I just needed it to stay fun. But yeah, so I've gone so up and down. Like, I didn't always have this mentality. I used to, like, I don't know. I feel like for me, I was on 15 to 25 for like the longest time. And then since joining the Yam fam, suddenly I am like 30 to 50. And then suddenly now in the new year, I am like 50 to 60. And then I had a really good week where I was like 60, 70 viewers. And I was like, it's happening, it's happening. And then the week after I was down again at 50. So for me, like, keeping up with that kind of just not letting it get into you it's definitely one of the harder parts. And my journey, not so much channel growth. Yeah, I have 3,000 followers. Yeah, I have however much average. Like, that's all very well. But my real journey for Twitch for me has been growing as a person and becoming able to deal with that amount of kind of stress, like not letting numbers get to me, not blaming myself if things are slightly lower, continually thinking of new things and new ways to keep the stream interesting. That's been the hard part, in my opinion. Can I say bye to Mike Frost? And thank you so much for gifting me a sub to Mike James.
Yeah, thank you for everything, dude. Take care. I hope you have a wonderful week. There's a few points that you raised there that I think, you know, we definitely should touch upon. And one of them, and I think I almost admire it, and I'm sure there's a lot of streamers in the chat right now. I know there's a lot of streamers in my own community that would probably learn or at least appreciate what you're saying in the terms of, you know, taking your time. I mean, 2 years to get to sort of, we're talking like, you know, 50, 60, you know, let's just say 50 to 60 viewers. Like, it kind of just reaffirms to people that this is real content creation. And I hate to use the word real to make it sound like anybody that's achieved it, you know, in super speed events is by all means fake. That's not what I'm saying. But this is like the sort of harsh reality of, you know, content creation. And yes, I know that you mentioned it is a hobby and it's not, you know, directly a full-time sort of situation. But still, it's kind of one of those situations where you're still trying to grow and you've been doing it for 2 years. And I think there's a lot of people out there that could probably take what you've said and being like, yeah, I should probably prepare to not get partnership in a month, but prepare to get it in, you know, maybe 9 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years. For, you know, everybody's journey is different. And I just love it when people come on to this podcast and come on to this show and are being completely open and sort of saying, yeah, well, it took me like years to get to this point. I mean, both you and I are familiar with Ashley's story, right? She's been on Twitch for 4 years and she didn't get partnered until almost year five by the time she got partnered. So for the for the people that are out there that are like, you know, really trying to push to get partnership as soon as possible, it could be something to consider where you just sort of take a step back and just enjoy the process and try not to put the stress on yourself. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ashley Christ is an incredible content creator. I lap up her content like it is chocolate. I love her so much. She's amazing, a huge inspiration to me. And when you put it that way, like she has been streaming a long time. Mm. And has only really taken off in the past maybe 18 months or so. Like, mm-hmm. That's incredibly encouraging. Like, knowing that sometimes it's just all about, you know, honing your craft, finding your niche. In her case, it absolutely was finding her niche. Sometimes you just need the right couple of people to notice you, and then they tell two friends, and then they tell two friends. But yeah, a lot of it is, like B Crunchy is saying, a lot of it is luck-based. But a lot of it is also it's based on the streamer as well. Because I would put it this way, if you get a host from Tim the Tap Man and he brings 10,000 viewers to your channel, like, that's luck to an extent. Getting even like 50 of those 10,000 people to stick around, follow, to come back, that is not luck. That is you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a mix. And maybe that's encouraging, maybe that's disencouraging. I mean it to be encouraging. That, yes, a lot of streaming, a lot of being successful in streaming, a lot of, you know, hitting partnership goals, that is, a lot of it is going to be luck, but a lot of it is down to you as well. So you can kind of work hard to make up for lack of luck, or maybe you just get lucky. I don't know. They both work.
See, every creator is going to have the differences, but I've always disagreed with the whole luck thing in terms of that. I don't think there is such a thing as luck when it comes to growing on Twitch. I think it's just what I would probably more call opportunity. If you've been given the opportunity for Tim the Tapman to raid you for 10,000 viewers, then you've been given an opportunity. I wouldn't consider that lucky. I'd consider that being given an opportunity, it is now your job to take that opportunity and make it work for you. It's all about adapting. When the opportunity arises, it's taking the chance and taking the plunge into, you know, trying to get 50 of those 10,000 people to stick around.
Absolutely.
Like, you could get raided for 10,000 people, and I've seen it happen before on things like YouTube and stuff. If you seize the opportunity in the correct way, you can get 1,000 followers from that 10,000 raid. And whether or not those 10,000 people will come back, that's entirely a different story. But you've got them at the top of the funnel at that point. Then it's up to you to keep creating valuable content so that they will, you know, come back to your streams to get more of you and to learn more about you as well. So, you know, you want to keep people hanging on the edge of the seat. But anyway, so obviously, you know, a lot alongside, you know, your partnership, you know, you're sort of growing towards that goal and stuff. Like, obviously you said one of the hardest things is, trying to reinvent things for your stream. And you say it's difficult, but I'd also say that you're pretty good at doing it, because I mean, I don't know how many other people have done Dark Souls one-handed before, but that in itself, yes, seems pretty ingenious, to take one of the games that's known to be one of the hardest games like, not in the world, but, you know, it's certainly supposed to be one of the harder games. And you went, what can I do to make this fun? Oh, no, I'll just play it with one hand instead.
So that was St. Jude's Play Live back in May. That's my first ever charity drive. So I wanted to do something. I really just wanted to hit $500. And I wanted to do something that was going to get the ball rolling and get people donating to start. So our $100 goal was to do our Dark Souls 1 one-handed run. And no, not just with one sword, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, with one hand on the controller. And I thought, how hard could it be? I'm pretty good at Dark Souls 1. Played through it 6 or 7 times. Fine. Oh my god, it's really hard. So that has been really fun. Obviously, we were doing it for charity and it worked. We, like, that was amazing. That was our first ever charity drive and we got $7,300 for St. Jude. And dang, incredible. That was amazing. Incredible. So I had to keep thinking of things we could do to raise money. And that was a really good exercise in just like, right, thinking of ways to innovate, keep people interested. That was obviously to make money, but it applies to just like content creation in general. What can you do to set you apart, to get people interested, to get people to want to tune in? I have a few famous friends. So I got them to come on the stream. I had Rich Hudson, I had Ash Millman. On to do a co-stream with challenges in it as well. So those were incentives. Also had Nikki, who is one of my best friends. She's she's from my stream. She's from my Discord. She took over my channel and I did a VR stream. So just weird things like that. She also put a pie in my face.
I saw that.
Weird things like that were like really good for making me think, like, what can I do to keep applying this same drive I had for St. Jude, but apply it just to my content in general. And one thing I've done recently was that I knew I really wanted some really strong branding. I've been like, I need to read that branding book. What's that branding book? Ashley keeps banging on about it.
Oh, Primal Branding?
Primal Branding. That's the one. I need to read that because I was like, right, rebranding.
I was about to turn around and say, oh yeah, my copy's over there. But then I realized I lent it to my dad and I haven't got it back yet. So.
Oh, God damn it, Dad James.
To be honest, I mean, look, I won't spoil the book. I mean, I can definitely give you a very brief rundown of it after the stream or, you know, via typing it. Because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But if you would rather buy it and read it, then that's fine.
I think I will. I'm really interested in it. So I paid one of my friends to redo all my emotes for me, and those have gone down a treat. And then I paid another one of my friends to do some animations for me, and that's what I just replaced this evening, and they're all broken, of course. So but like, I'm thinking of ways like that to
hashtag keep, streamer life.
Keep stepping it up and keep people interested. Bit alerts are so underrated. You can add so many different bit alerts and add hidden ones. Like, if you say to people, hey guys, there's a new bit alert, I'm not telling you how many bits for, though I'll give you a clue, it's a multiple of 10, and watch the hilarity. Just things like that, just ways to keep people having fun. It's the best.
I just want to interject, because it's not an analogy that I made up, but after I interviewed another partner streamer, I'm Stallion, he mentioned something that kind of got my brain ticking, and I kind of try and think about it in everybody's stream. And he said that, because obviously he became partnered playing Fortnite, which was like one of the biggest feats that we could possibly do. And the way that he worded it is, he turned around and he said to everybody, and if anybody wants to listen to the full podcast, they can at anchor.fm/. Anyway,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What was that?
I said anchor.fm/TheMikeJames, or you can search The Mike James Content Experience on Spotify or iTunes, and don't forget to leave it a review on iTunes. But yeah, it's funny because I'm Stallion turned around. He said something that's kind of stuck in my head ever since. And he was like, the key to what he did to make it to partner on Fortnite was by making every stream an experience for the viewer. And that kind of like got me ticking over, because a lot of people, I think, they're not necessarily selfish, but a lot of people don't realize that the power to your success, if you like, is the people that are in your chat. So the best thing to do is to create an experience for the people in chat that are gonna leave them wanting more. And I think that's the best way that we can put, you know, that we could word it. And I think that's kind of what you're sort of getting at and suggesting right now, is kind of just thinking about how can I create an environment that's going to want people wanting more. And then obviously when they come in, they get a bit more of the experience. They get you know, you're very friendly, you're very welcoming, you try to get to know everybody. Don't just treat people like numbers or like drones or whatever, you know, you try to get to know them as humans. So I think that, coupled with the fact that you make an experience for your audience, is kind of what you would say is kind of the key to your success, I suppose, if you want to put it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Another question that I was interested in asking is, obviously you got the job, you know, backtracking a little bit to the job that you got, you know, making videos for YouTube on the on the interwebs. Obviously, how did you, what skills did you find that transferred over from that job into your stream? Like, did you find that there was, you know, certain things that became super helpful, or it helped you develop certain skills in certain areas?
Yeah, absolutely. Through working for YouTube, it's not something I ever thought was as important on Twitch, and maybe it's not, but I learned the value of things like title, things like thumbnail. Now, thumbnail you can't really control to an extent. You can kind of, obviously, by having your overlay all nice like this. Like, so if someone is to scroll past your stream, they're going to know, obviously, right away, there's two people, they're going to see that it's all nicely laid out, for example. So that's sort of what I mean by thumbnail. Title, I learned through working for YouTube that if someone is browsing and there are lots of lovely looking people who are all playing your favorite game and you have to choose between them, regardless of how many viewers they have, you're maybe going to go on title. Like, who sounds like the kind of person that I want to spend time with? So I kind of learned to keep that in mind, like, and always try and have my, sometimes I have no creative, like, when I get home, I'm just like, I am streaming tonight, and that's my title. but most of the time, I try and have a really inventive title. I try and make sure my overlay looks nice and it's quite clear what I'm doing. I try and have, I try and tweet, my going live tweet as an extension of, obviously, like, advertising the stream. So a lot of that I learned through working for YouTube, which is weird because you wouldn't think that making YouTube videos would make you learn stuff on Twitch. It certainly taught me a lot of things on for making my own YouTube channel, which I'm still kind of green at. I'm almost at 900 subs though, which is amazing. but it's getting there. I'm not going to lie, a lot of those, I am very fortunate to, obviously, I have gotten a lot of those subs through exposure through my work. I haven't actually done a lot of videos on it yet. But like we were saying, there's no such thing as luck. It's opportunity. And I had an opportunity and I took it. but yeah, things like that. Even just how to interact with people. Because, you know, every job, every time you meet a group of people and you have to work with them and learn how to solve problems with them, you're learning how to interact with people. So any job teaches you that, for sure. So there's that. I'd love to say something really profound to finish, but I guess, yeah, it just helped me think, helped me learn more words. Because when I'm obviously writing, I've not been writing, I didn't learn writing at uni, I'm all like sort of self-taught with writing. So in sort of challenging myself to write for work, I'm learning how to do problem solving for Twitch, and I'm learning new words that I can tell to Twitch. Not really. I'm just trying to sound really profound, and it's... Nah.
Just accept it, Rich. Me and you ain't ever going to be profound, so... Anyway.
I'm trying to be profound. but yeah, it sort of works in a lot of subtle ways, I would say. It's definitely helped my confidence. Definitely. Oh, actually, that's a good point. I don't give a butt about trolls anymore. Every single troll used to bother me. Every single time someone would come in and call me fat or ugly or whatever, mention tats or whatever. Like, it used to bother me every single time. But through working with YouTube, oh my goodness. Oh my damn. These people have no lives and I want nothing to do with them. So actually, like, through all that heartbreak, looking through the YouTube comments of how many people hated me and hated my voice and hated my gender and hated my taste in games, I'm just so desensitized to it that I only have time for people who want to spend time with me and who want to, like, treat me like they want to be treated. Like, that's the only people I'm interested in. And I learned that through working for a YouTube channel. So, yeah, we'll go with that.
I was just, when you said, oh yeah, like, trolls don't bother me anymore, like, I was just like, oh, thank God. Because literally, the reason why is because my dad, when he watches these podcasts every Monday, and we finish up the podcast and we go to the questions from from the viewers, the first thing he'll say is, oh, how does insert streamer's username deal with trolls? So thank God that you mentioned that, because hopefully he won't ask the question now because he's already got the answer.
It depends. On Twitch you can kind of have a little fun. So we haven't really had a good troll in a while, to be honest. You get the people who play the long game, and then you get the people who come right in right away with come related stuff, don't you? And the mods are like, oh, they're right on that. They love it. They feast upon it. So they're usually right on it. You can tell right away when it's a new name. We've got loads of tools from Twitch now. You can click on someone. Oh, this is their first ever message here, and it sounds a bit dodgy. I'm going to keep an eye on them. So they're usually right on it. But if someone's just like being a douche and like playing the long game, you can kind of almost have a little fun with them. It depends how you're feeling. Depends how you're feeling. If there's a certain day that I'm feeling particularly low or like really unhappy with my body, like, oh, happens, then sometimes I'll just be like, I've got no time for you, goodbye. And then other times you kind of want to try and convert people in a way. You want to be like, oh, really? You want to be mean to me? Really? Oh, okay. Are you sure? So it's just, if you just have the mindset of like, this is what you're doing with your life, you've come into my stream and you're trying to troll me and failing, well, okay, goodbye, go do it to someone else, sorry. Like, I think if you just have that mindset, it becomes easier, perhaps. Yeah.
I would choose much harsher words for them, but I'm trying to step down on the bad language.
Say ball bag.
I promise the missus. No, ball but bag. The only time a troll ever affected me was the time when I had about three guys that came in, and they're obviously all friends, just sat on Discord or Skype or whatever, talking to each other, and one of them was being, you know, you can kind of tell when somebody's about to be a big peepee in your chat, and I just kind of I timed this guy out, and then some other guy chimes up and he's like, and I won't even censor it. So bad language, if you're offended by bad language, turn the volume down for 10 seconds. But this other guy piped up and he was like, oh, you fat fuck, unban my friend. And I was like, no.
Bam.
And then I timed him out, and then some other guy piped up, but then one of the guys joined the Discord. Now, stupid Mike, when he set up his new Discord, forgot to turn off text to speech in his Discord. So I literally had one guy that started using Discord to put in racist words. I'm sure you can imagine what he put in. And that started blaring over not just my stream, because obviously everybody else that was in the Discord also started getting blasted with the text to speech. So there was about three people streaming at the time, and obviously the people that were in there, and literally everybody was, you know, losing their shit over the fact that we had these guys that were just spamming racist words with text to speech. We turned text to speech off straight away. I forgot it was a thing, to be honest. We timed them all out. We banned them from the Discord. And then after that, I kind of like, I wasn't defeated, but it was at that point I was ending the stream anyway. I was getting close to, I was in just chatting but that's probably why. And I sort of just turned around and went, yeah, I'm not going to raid anyone tonight, just because I normally raid somebody at the end of every stream. But I was there was no way I was going to pass them on to anybody else. So I was like, their reign ends with me.
Taking you to the grave.
So I ended the stream.
That's such a shame. That's such a shame, because I bet before that you were having such a good stream, and it only takes one little ball bag to steal your joy. And I am like that. I like to think I'm better now than I used to be, but yeah, no, I totally feel you.
Yeah, I thought I'd just bring that up for anybody that might be worried about the potential troll issues. It's kind of like, I'm not saying that to sort of hurt anybody. I'm just literally saying that to anybody that does want to stream, just make sure that you're prepared with a system in place or the mods in place or whatever, and don't be like Mike and forget that Discord has a text-to-speech option. don't do that. So yeah, that's obviously, we want to start finishing up the podcast, but before we do, I want to learn a little bit more about the Future Rich, because obviously Future Rich sounds like Cool Rich. I mean, you're already cool. Shit, I'm digging myself into a grave here. Right, just step back, Mike.
No.
Take a breather.
I'm not cool.
You are cool, don't deny it. Anyway, so what's in the future for you? Like, do you want to go into full-time streaming? Would that ever be an option? Like, would you consider that an option? Or is it a case of that you enjoy your job too much? Like, if you could picture yourself 5 years from now, what would your ideal future look like?
I want more than anything to be a full-time content creator independently. I mean, obviously I kind of am already, but I don't have a lot of creative control at my job, and it's like, I'd love to just be able to make what I want to make and be able to sustain myself on that. But it's hard, because it's like, I have such a good job that I shouldn't leave, because I, for the first time in about 10 years, have disposable income. I spent £120 on makeup at the weekend. Like, and 10 years ago, that wouldn't have been, like, I would not have been able to do that. So on one hand, yeah, obviously, yeah, it pays well. I'm on a salary for the first time in my life, which is great. But it's great fun as well. And I love the friends I've made there. And it's just too good an opportunity to want to leave. But my heart is like, I see these two streams a week that I'm doing and this one YouTube video a week that I'm doing. And I'm just like, oh, I want more. I want to do this like full time. I want to so badly. But it's just not really smart. And like, I feel like fun me and smart me are kind of arguing, where fun me is like, I just want to make videos. And smart me is like, you're getting married in October. You have a mortgage. You have a good job that so many people would love to have. Like, what are you doing? And it's so hard to like figure out what I want to do because of those reasons. But 5 years from now, I suppose I'd better have a baby. I don't know, I'm getting a bit old, so I suppose 5 years from now I'd have a kid, and maybe would be full-time streaming. Maybe if I have a little tiny rage, then I could take some maternity leave and do some streaming, maybe.
A little tiny rage. I like it.
Oh god, that's terrifying.
Tiny.
I'm still at, oh god,
tiny rich quit.
I'm almost 30, but I'm still a kid, like.
I feel you on that. My fiance, all she's ever wanted all her life is to be a mum, and I'm pretty sure if it was up to her, we've been together now for 5 years and engaged for one. If it was up to her, I'm pretty sure she would have been pregnant like 4 years and 9 months ago. Even though it's physically impossible, I'm pretty sure if it was up to her, she would have been. But she'll get it one day. But but yeah, kind of like you, I'm like, am I ready?
No, like, I'm still good.
Like, I see a swing and I still want to go swing on it. Am I really ready for this?
I went swinging. I went, oh, where were we? Portugal. And there was a swing set, and I went on the swing set for the first time in like, oh my god, so long, and it was amazing.
So yeah, I think we've established where we're both at. That's fine. I mean, apart from that, is there any sort of other, advice that you think are things we may have overlooked in our discussions that you might want to sort of give to anybody in your community and just people in general, like the best advice that you could give them in terms of streaming? I mean, we've already spoken about, you know, time elements, you know, not really, you know, don't be in a rush for things because, you know, everybody's journey is different. You might get what you want in a month. You might not get it for 3 years. As long as you keep, you know, keep being persistent and keep reinventing and trying to home in on your niche and things, blah, 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 blah. But is there anything else that you think that we might have looked over that you might want to mention?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm speaking from someone who's been doing it for 2 years and has seen like an amazing amount of growth in those 2 years, in my opinion. I'm very grateful for how well my journey has gone. If I want to speak to people who are maybe right at the start of their journey or maybe are thinking of trying it, because content creation is it's just the purest form of creativity, because you can literally be, for example, not very creatively minded, but you can just get a friend who is good at art, get them to make you some graphics, whip up a stream and just give it a go. You can be someone who struggles to talk to people and then think, well, I'm just going to try streaming and see if that helps me come out of my shell a little bit more. I know a lot of streamers who say that they are really introverted, but when they're on stream, they're a completely different person. So if you've been thinking this is something you want to try, or maybe you tried it in the past and it didn't go well and you want to give it another go, now knowing that it takes a while to get started, then my advice is just to go for it, because honestly, it's made me such a more confident person and it's just fun. It's just good fun. And you get to see the fruits of your labor and it's so satisfying. But yeah, my advice would be like, just do it. If you want to try it, just do it. And don't worry too much in the beginning about it being perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I probably should have asked this a little bit earlier, but in terms of, I mean, I know you mentioned niche and all that, but in terms of like your own niche, what sort of niche do you sort of feel you have, and how did you get there? I know I should have asked this a long time ago, but things just pop into your head and you just got to ask them.
My niche is, I guess, a combination of a lot of things. I'm very high energy. I don't swear, or I try not to. We're a little lewd sometimes, but who's perfect? I play a lot of Dark Souls and a lot of Legend of Zelda. I tend to always have one or more of those on the go at once. So I just, like, my niche is just like, you get Rachel, you get me. I am Scottish. A lot of people like my voice, which is cool. Some people don't like it, but there you go. I just do what makes me happy, and then that makes people happy, which then makes me happier, which then makes them happier. And it's this wonderful cycle. And I feel like that is my niche. Like, I'm just me. It's maybe not the most specialized niche. Hey, we like dogs as well. Did I mention we like dogs? So it's maybe not like as niche as me saying, hey, I talk politics on Twitch, or, oh, hey, I have this great chat show every Monday night. But I just
trying to say, Willis.
I'm saying it's a much better niche.
Well, this isn't the only thing I do, you know. I play Sims 4 as well.
Oh my god, Mike, just take the compliment.
Never.
Take the compliment.
I can't take compliments. Take it back. I don't want it. Take it back.
But yeah, I have fun alerts. We like malems and cute noises and silly gifts and stuff. We just have a silly time.
That is your niche, silly time.
That's my niche. To be fair, I don't know anyone who has gifts like I do, to be fair. And we have a heckin' ton of different bit alerts. And a lot of dogs. Like I say, I'm still figuring these things out. But I think I'm going to call it the cycle of happiness.
Do you know what? You just reminded me, actually, because you said, you said, oh, the circle of something, and then I was going to say, oh, it's like the circle of life, but instead of the circle of life from The Lion King, it's the circle of rich.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm trying to think of how the song would go.
The circle of rich.
I don't
and
know.
And she moves us up.
Yes, nailed it. I'm going to press the golden buzzer now.
I'm the free. Eyes. Boom. I made it.
Made it to the live shows. How do you feel? You're going to Vegas.
I feel amazing. Thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
I want to thank me mom and I want to thank me dad. But yeah, I think we'll go ahead and finish up there. I want to thank you, Rach. Now, hopefully you'll spend a little bit of time with us after I finish the recording to hopefully answer any questions that we've got. So don't go anywhere just yet, hopefully, if you've got the time. But I do want to thank you for being on the podcast today. It's absolutely wonderful to get to know you a little bit more.
Nietzsche has just added, Rach's niche is her rubber face. Wow, Nietzsche. My wife. I have a very expressive face, to be fair. I don't see it much, so I'll take your word for it, Nietzsche, my lovely.
I can see what she's talking about, though. But yeah, thank you for being on the podcast, and we'll hopefully we'll get into the juicy questions. But yeah,
super thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for listening, everybody.
And since you do funny voices or cute voices, I don't know how well I'll be able to do it, but I'll try and do my Elmo for you. I'll see if Elmo wants to thank you. I don't know if I'll be able to do it very well still.
Oh, gosh.
Elmo says thank you for joining us on this podcast. Thank you. I love you so much. I'm now going to go say hello to the Cookie Monster, so I'll be right back.
But yeah, thank you so. There you are, guys. Thank you for listening to episode number 17 of the podcast with Don't Rage Quit. What a fantastic guest. Rach, I absolutely loved having you on here. If you're listening to this episode, just want you to know that I am super proud of everything that you've achieved. A little bit disappointed that you didn't hire me as your wedding photographer. Other than that, pretty proud of you nonetheless, Don't Rage Quit. Have a wonderful time at your wedding later on in the year, and don't forget to keep slaying it. As for the rest of you, thank you for listening to this episode. You are all just as equally awesome. And guys, don't forget that if you would like to join in the fun, you may have noticed today that Don't Rage Quit was mentioning the subs. I do stream this podcast live on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMikeJames. If you would like to contact me about anything regarding the podcast or the streams, you can do on Twitter at @itsTheMikeJames. And you can find all the latest news and updates over on Twitter and contact me there. So guys, thank you so much for listening. Hope you all have a wonderful week, and I will see you guys in the next episode.